we're doing the Walking Dead series. So if a walker come in here, you run here, right? Okay? Yeah. I have said many times that our church is a church of all nations and for all nations. And we may not be a cool church, but we are a very committed church. We may not be a hip church, but we are a holy church that Christ has raised us to be holy people. And one thing I can say to those of you looking for church in this city, in this area, is that we are a powerful church. God's power is here. You'll experience it in some way or the other. Because you have walked into a place where it's holy, where it's powerful. And may the Spirit of the Lord feed you today. I'm going to... And it's awesome. Because we want to be great at sharing the gospel. And see how we're doing on this one. Because we've been talking about Bethlehem. Come on up here. And I want to let you know how we are advancing the kingdom of God. And we have a person here that take the census during Bethlehem. And Steve, I would like to share with us that last year we had about 17,000 people, maybe a little less than that, but more than 16,000 people come to Bethlehem. But tell the church how we are doing in sharing the gospel. How many cities from California has come to witness the Bethlehem, the gospel story?
Okay, in the last... excuse me. Good morning, everybody. The last 10 years I've been a census taker. This isn't about me. This is to show the congregation... not just by number, but by faith. So quickly, we had 122 cities from California, and I have pins mapping out all the locations that were on my census.
So we have list. 122 cities from California. Now, from how many states in America has come to witness the greatest gospel story?
In 24 states... which comes out to about 41 different cities.
All right, so let's go to the world. How many countries of the world have come and seen and witnessed the greatest story?
We have the map here of the world, and there's 50 countries pinned on there.
So, 122 cities, 42 states, and 50 countries of the world have seen this Bethlehem. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And this is the reason why we share the gospel to the people. And why we say that we want to be great at sharing the gospel, sharing the good news to the people. And a part of sharing the gospel is immortality. How many of you wants to live forever? If I have a secret to give away this morning, that you can live forever and I have a potion or something, would you run forward here and say, "Pastor, I want one"? This week has been very, very special for me, this Thanksgiving week. We didn't know how it was going to turn out because every Thanksgiving is different. And I have waited on the Lord this week, and we were just going to take it easy and rest and reflect this Thanksgiving. It's the first Thanksgiving in our house since we moved to California. So we didn't plan anything, but when we got up in the morning, my daughter was saying happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And then we sat on the table, and she brought an envelope, a card envelope for all of us. She had painted her joy and feelings in the card and put in the envelope, and he gave it to all of us. And we took out and we read and we prayed. You know, in the evening, when we were praying as family, I turned toward her and said, daughter, you did something very touching. You made us realize what this day was for and what we should be thankful. And I want to be very grateful to you for what you have done. And you made me very emotional. And then we went away the next day up on the mountain, and we were singing around the fireside, and we were sharing about what we are thankful for and the blessings that we can count. And then it has been about God again, that He is a good Father. And we were gathering there, and I don't have a father in my life. My wife doesn't have a father. The other two person, they didn't have a father. And here are four people, four adults that doesn't have father in our lives. And as we were singing, count your many blessings, that hymn, count your many blessings, you know, name them one by one. And then God say, I am your father. I'm a good father. And I was praying that, and we were all touched, and we try not to cry. But it's about a God, it's about a good father. That God is a good father. That's why He sent His Son. And this, I've enjoyed this series, The Walking Dead, because there has been very important, vital, life-giving scripture verses that you see in the show. And this is the last one, in Father Gabriel's church, in the ark. If you didn't watch carefully, you wouldn't know. But it's written there, whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Here are walkers coming into the sanctuary, or the survivors. The banner is that he who eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The Greek have tried to find this immortality, and you will read in mythology. Right. And every civilization have tried to find a potion that they can live forever. Ambrosia. In Chinese civilization, the elixir of life. In Zoroastrian, the Soma and the Haura. In Hinduism, there is Amrita. That the gods and goddesses drink these things and they don't die. You hear about immortality when you read when Zeus was born. And the gods were bringing down for him to drink this thing. Before that, to live forever, they will smell the vapor that comes from the dead body and smell the vapor, so they will live forever. You can find in the Egyptian finding this juice for immortality, the white flute that they will drink, the golden flute, so they can live forever. Every civilization have tried to find something to live forever, immortality, to beat death. We think about our death, right? You try to find some herb or a juice or some water fountain, a fountain of youth, that you will not grow old. Your skin will not sag and wrinkle, right? So you put on a lot of lotions and eat all kinds of fruit, pomegranate, I don't know, right? I can say that the turkey and stuffing is out, I guess, for immortality. But there is one living bread and one life-giving blood. In the garden, in the Old Testament, even God said there is a tree of life. There's a tree of life. If Adam and Eve ate that fruit from the tree of life, they would have lived forever. That tree is still there. One of these days, we're going to eat the fruit from the tree of life and we will not die. It's a promise. But I want to talk about, there is one bread and one life-giving blood today. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood. This is the reason why the Romans thought that Christians were cannibals. That the church was accused of cannibalism because of eating the flesh and drinking the blood in the Lord communion, in the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. They thought Christians were cannibals. They have to work hard to say, no, that's not the case. Because it's about spirituality, some mystical things happening in the fellowship and the body of Christ. And Christ said, I am the bread of life. When he is saying this, is that if you eat my bread, I want to talk about four truths here from this verse, whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood, is that there is a perpetual supply of bread. You will not be hungry again. There's a permanent satisfaction that you will not be hungry again if you eat this bread. Do you remember? Go to the Jacob's well, when the Samaritan woman was there, she said, oh, Master, give me that water so I will never thirst again. You have heard this expression before. Christ have used this teaching to reach to their heart where they are, that they're thirsty and hungry. But if you eat the bread of life, there will be perpetual supply, eternal supply. You will not run out. You will have permanent satisfaction. You will not hunger again. Because the spiritual appropriation of Christ is spiritual association with Christ. Let's go back to the Torah, right? So, Christ was teaching to the people at this time that your fathers have ate manna and the meat in the wilderness. And where are they? Where are they? They have died. They ate the spiritual food, the manna and the meat, but they died. But if you eat me, you will not die. What does that mean? In the Old Testament also, if you look at the tradition from rabbinic tradition and read about it, when you consume the manna and the meat, the bird that came from heaven, it actually symbolizes this. You are consuming the word of God, the Torah. See? It's not about eating manna and eating the bird and the meat. It's about consummation of the Torah, the law of God, the word of God. Right? In the beginning was the Word, which became flesh. When you consume the Word of God daily and you abide with Christ, then Christ abides in you daily. This is what eating the flesh is about. That if you're eating the flesh, which means if you're abiding in the Word of God and eating the Word of God daily, then Christ dwells in you. It's a spiritual appropriation. Not literal flesh eating. But whoever eats and breathes the word of God, Christ abides in them and Christ dwells in them. And look at the blood of life. The blood of life is the life of the world. See, life found only in the blood of whom? In the blood of Christ. Only the blood of Christ can make us live forever. We can be only immortal with the blood of Christ. Can you live without the blood? None of us here can live without blood. We will die. In 10 minutes, if you don't have blood, you will die. You won't have oxygen in your body. You're going to die without blood. And Christ is saying, I am the blood. You drink my blood and you will live forever. He is the life of the world. The lifeline of this world is dependent on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. He's saying the mystical appropriation of Christ is the spiritual communion with Christ. It's awesome. These are the four finite truths, you know, of the bread and the blood. and say, so you eat and you drink of me. It's very interesting how he started this, because we're talking about the nations that we're reaching. Do you know that, I don't know the number now, but in our congregation, there are 32 different ethnicities in this congregation. Can you imagine that? 32. God's power, resurrection story, and the gospel have reached to many different nations, and they're here. And we're not a mega church yet. But even in this congregation, we have such variety. Just imagine if we continue to abide with God and faithfully serve Him and spread the greatest good news of this world, what would happen? What will happen? Can you imagine what will happen? Oh, we're going to see the tides of salvation coming. We're going to have baptism coming week, following week. I want you to pray about these things, that God's salvation tide and revival is coming to the church and coming into the hearts of people, young and old, that they come to the Lord, that we can see babies and children growing up in our eyes, in our presence, and following the Lord Jesus Christ. If we continue to eat the bread and drink the blood, it starts with whoever eats and drink, right? This is an inclusive invitation. It was not just for the Jew. Where the manna and the bird came from, where the manna and the meat came, it's no longer just for the Jew. It's no longer just for God's chosen people. This is whoever. This is an inclusive invitation to the great news. The door to heaven is open to everybody. The door to heaven is open to everybody. The life-giving blood and the life-giving bread is offered to all. The living bread is offered to all. And then it says, eat my flesh, the sacrificial offering. Abide in Christ and He will abide in you. You believe in my word and in me, and you will have eternal life. What is our life group theme for this year? It's going to end on December 3rd, but what is our life group? Abiding in the Word of God. You abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Drink my blood. Sacrificial atonement, that the life-giving blood found only in Jesus Christ. Christ is amazing, you know. When I read this, I want to tell you this. When you go to Leviticus, the Word of God says, you shall not drink the blood. Now, the people here are coming, okay, now you drink the blood. Say, what? No. We can't drink the blood, but now you're telling we should drink the blood? Life is in the blood. So you shouldn't drink the blood. God's people were told, and they are trying to grapple with this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ of not drinking the blood. This is how the Lord has taught in so many ways to the people, that they will understand, they will think and slow down. Because he was talking about the sacrifice, selflessness, that I'm going to sacrifice myself. See, these people had come for bread. In John 6, chapter 6, you will see the miracles. People were hungry. They had been coming to him for bread and fish. And he has been feeding thousands of people with bread and fish. Now he's suddenly saying, no, you're not going to eat the bread. I will become the bread. I will feed you. I will become the bread itself. I'll become the meat itself, so that you will have eternal life. That you become infinite being, that Christ will raise up whoever believes in him on the last day. These are the truths that we see in this one verse. Okay? Four great truths. That is in the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is open to everyone. First truth. The second truth is that the sacrificial offering. Christ gave perfect sacrificial offering through his body. And his blood is the perfect atonement for our sins. So if you believe in this, then you will have eternal life. Four great truths there. But let's look at the response. And let's come back here today in Santa Clara Valley and Silicon Valley. Four classic and timeless responses. Okay. So the first one is, what is it? Right? So when manna came from heaven, do you know what manna is? Manna is, what is it? That's the literal meaning of manna. What is it? It's like I call my daughter when I get up. I'll make breakfast or meal for her and say, hey, your breakfast ready. Come to the table. We got to go to school. She's doing her hair or doing something from her room. And she will say, what is it? You know, what is it that I'm going to feed her? The people were perplexed with this question. What is it? Go back to Noah time. When God asked him to build a boat, people were perplexed. Why are you doing this, Noah? I can't understand this. The manna from heaven came and said, what is it? And Jesus telling them to eat the bread, I'm the bread of life, and they're saying, what is it? It is too hard to understand. That's what they said. Because they're saying, they couldn't understand. That's why the disciples were saying, give us the bread always. Then we don't have to go look for bread anywhere. Just give it to us. Other thing is that, how can this man give his flesh? God gave the manna and the meat. God's giving the Son of God to them, and they still haven't understood. They did not understand that the manna come from heaven. That it was the meat. It was the bread. The manna, bread, bird, the flesh. The word and flesh was there, even in the Old Testament, for them to feed, but they still did not understand, and they asked the question, what is it? We still ask today, from Noah's time, in the wilderness, in the New Testament, and today more so in Silicon Valley, what is it? What is the gospel? What are you talking about? Things haven't changed much. And we got to explain the gospel. We cannot assume that they know, that they grew up in church. No, many of them have not stepped into the church. It's our task to tell them. You say, who can understand it? This is a hard saying. So 2,000 years ago, when Christ was teaching them, say, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and I will raise you up on the last day. Do you know what the people say? 5,000 or more that has come for free food. What did they say? Oh, this is too hard to understand. Who can understand this? Who can understand this? Yeah, we understood it 2,000 years later, and we're here. You see? What Christ has taught was not too hard to understand for many people. That's the reason why you're here. It had worked. Their questions and doubt were proved wrong by the power of the gospel, by the power of the word of God, and we are here. And we look at the people outside in this valley, and we are thinking, how am I going to reach them? It's too hard to understand for them. No, don't let us not fool ourselves. This word of God has survived more than 2,000 years, and the church of Christ is thriving and alive in many parts of the world, including here. It is not too hard to understand. The power of God is not too weak to break a hardened heart. The power of God, the power of the word of God is not too weak to convict somebody to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. We limit the power of the gospel of Christ by not sharing it. We are the one that limited it. We are the one that is saying it's too hard to understand. No, it's not too hard for the Holy Spirit to convict somebody. If we share it, if we share and offer the bread, if we share and offer the blood, the life-giving blood and the living bread, it's not too hard to understand. So he turned to the disciples and said, does this offend you? Because people left on that day. Many left on that day because of that teaching. And they decided not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. So he turned to his disciples, hoping that they will not doubt and be afraid of this teaching. And he said, does this offend you guys? Right? We're so big on not offending people. It's too hard to understand. We cannot offend them. So we didn't do anything. We're more afraid about offending people than the desire to share the gospel. But the gospel is offensive. The gospel of Jesus is offensive to people. How are you going to eliminate that? You want to give a watered-down gospel? So it's not too hard for them to swallow? Are you trying to fool them in the beginning to say, oh, let's just get them in first, and then we can share the hard stuff to them later? You just trick them first. Let them come in, and we'll do the hard part later. It was hard from the beginning for the followers of Jesus. There is one leader that I know. There wasn't really, the bottom line was not number church growth. And there was Jesus Christ. He was trying to eliminate. Although the gospel was for everyone, he wanted to know who are the real followers, who are the authentic believers. We have to do that as a church if we truly care for people. If we truly care for people. That people that are saying, what is this? Why are you guys singing here? Why are you guys coming here? Why are you putting envelope in the offering plates? What is this? Why are you doing this? How can this man say these things? Who can understand these things? Does this offend you? Because there is four eternal implications. Believe in Jesus and you will have eternal life. Only Jesus can give life. Jesus came from heaven for the life of the world. And whoever does not believe in Jesus and his word will die. I still can't get over it. I can still remember. 2 weeks before Mel passed away, he came down here on a wheelchair. I was praying over there with some people. He was here, and one of our church members, including the nephew and his wife. What can I pray for you, Mel? I was expecting like, oh, I need good health and I'm weak. He looked at me and said, I want to give my life to Christ. 89 years old. A week short of 90 at that time. And I was just blown away and said, are you sure you want to give your life to Christ? And he's shaking his head. He's fumbling on the right side. And I was thinking, what can I help? He was looking for a Kleenex. And this 89, almost 90-year-old man, tears rolling down in his eyes. And I said, this is real. This is real stuff. This is God's stuff. 2 weeks later, he passed away. Eternal life. We're talking about real stuff here. We're talking about God's stuff here. We're not talking about being cool and hip in this church. We're talking about committed. That Christ is committed to this church and he gave his life to. So we're committed to the gospel. We're talking about holiness. That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. A day before you die, a week before you die, it doesn't matter. It cleanses. When I was preparing this song, this sermon, an old song just popped up right there. You know? Like I haven't sang for a long time. It came to me and was very refreshing. It's like, it's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took away, you know, and in redeeming sin. That song just came when I was preparing this. It just lightened my heart that we are here for the right reason. And what is that right reason? That you're trying to connect somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ and show real God stuff. Real God stuff happening in your life and in their life. People come in here joyful this morning when I was there and greeting them. But there were also some people crying there when they stepped into the door. But if we are not careful, we miss all those things. We just walk in and walk out. That would be a shame in this church. I say that revival's on the way. The Spirit of God, when there's revival, you can catch the hope, the sorrow, the joy, the sadness of people. And we come together as a body of Christ to heal, to give hope, and to strengthen, and to stir up the gifts of God so we can go out there and have an exponential growth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we're here. So this morning, there's a number up there, and you can text to that number for anything. If you want to say, I want to be prayed for, just say prayer and text to that number. If you want a connection, just say connect and text to that number. If you want a baptism, just say baptism, connect to that number. I'll get back to you. If you want to give your life to Christ, just text to that number. You know, salvation or whatever word, or for any other reason. Use that text number and you can text me and I'll get it. It'll come to me. Only me will see it if you don't want anyone to see it. And I will connect with you. I would like you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the living bread, the living blood of the Lamb. So, the manna and the meat and the Messiah. People ate the manna and the meat and they died, but the Messiah gave his life to all of us. Lambs for turkey. Lambs for turkey. I know you ate turkey last week, this week, but today I offer you lamb. And if you eat it, you will have eternal life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here so we can have a great time of worship and just connect to the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a time of prayer. After the worship, you can come down there and we can pray for you. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you're looking for hope for anything, looking for a church to connect, to do great things for the Lord, we want to work with you. We want to participate with you. So let's be on our feet and prepare ourselves to worship. Father, let your Holy Spirit come. Fill us and touch us. Help us know the value of the bread and the blood. That whoever eats the flesh and drink the blood shall live. they will be raised on the last day. Lord, we stand here as victorious people. So we thank you and we praise your holy name. Oh yes, man of sorrows, Lamb of God. Let's give hand to the Lord and praise and worship him this morning. Yeah.